You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
So the topic is anxiety. And yeah, I was ironically nervous about this teaching. Wow, okay. God's teaching me the teaching I'm going to give you. The word anxiety in the scriptures in the New Testament is merimnao, which it's a Greek word, you know, the New Testament is written in Greek and Aramaic. It's to be troubled with cares. We're called to care about things, of course, but this is to be troubled with cares. Excessive, pervasive fear or apprehension. These are synonymous ideas with anxiety. Fear that troubles and preoccupies us. You can't get your mind off of it, and it affects your fundamental well-being as a person. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Concern that is just run amok. It's just off the rails. Worry is a synonym for it. Psychology Today, Dr. Heshmat says, fear and anxiety are closely related. Both contain the idea of danger or the possibility of injury or loss, I'd add to that. In general, fear is seen as a reaction to a specific observable danger. I'm about ready to fall off a cliff, specific. While anxiety is seen as a diffuse, a kind of unfocused, objectless, future-oriented fear. So this is a picture of Jupiter and its moons that just orbit around it. And this is how our anxieties can be. They're just like orbiting around our minds nonstop. It's hard to shake them from thinking about them. It's a daily reality for a lot of people. To one degree or another, we're not all anxious people, but to one degree or another, all of us struggle with some form of anxiety to differing degrees, but way up now. That's bad syntax on my part, but I'm basically saying that over the last 2 years, professionals are saying that anxiety with the average person has been through the roof thanks to COVID and other things. So why did I choose this topic today? It's because anxiety can increase with age. It seems like there's more things to be anxious about. I saw that with my own dad, that he became more anxious and more fretful over more things the older he got. And I'm kind of following in his footsteps, truth be told. So I'm not talking today about severe clinical situations. So I am not up here as a psychologist or a clinician trying to give you advice. I'm talking about the garden variety anxiety that we experience to one degree or another, and which Jesus addresses and the whole of Scripture addresses. So let's talk about some areas of anxiety. Health issues, COVID worries, mental sharpness down. I'm getting anxious about that. You ever walk into a crowd and it's like, I know her. What's her name? Kids, grandkids, you know, they can get in all kinds of trouble and you worry about them. Lack of finances, that can be something that just talk about Jupiter and its moons, where it can just circle around your mind like crazy. What's my purpose and value now? That question, it's easy to get anxious about that. Or where the past overshadows the future, things that you've done or wish you had done, and it feels like they just overshadow the present and the future. Caring for ailing parents, that can be an anxious thing. My mom is 96 years old, and so, you know, all of us siblings are constantly emailing back and forth. What about her tests today? How's she doing? Retirement can be another issue. Unsaved family members, where you just wonder, did they know Jesus? Where are they going to be? Are they going to be there with me in the next life with the Lord? That can be a source of anxiety. What will people think of you now that your work and your admirable traits are diminishing? Will I be valued? So I'm a musician, and so I think about this with my fingers. I play all different kinds of stringed instruments, and there's definitely a decline that is going on there. And it's like, these were my bread and butter as far as, you know, my value or perceived value and why people, you know, thought highly of me. And so I used to be very fast on these instruments in the old days. And now sometimes I just look down and fingers are kind of shaking. And, you know, that's bad enough in of itself, but it's these questions of what's your value now that this thing that you've been known for and has kind of defined you in a good way is sort of creeping away. I get anxiety about that. Confronting a scary person. Man, how many of you have had that go bad before in your lives? Get anxious about that. Confessing an embarrassing sin to someone who's close to you. Anxiety. Whew. New confusing responsibilities. A huge decision affecting much. The future what ifs. Yeah, did I forget anything? Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for coming out. Kidding. Let's see what the Lord has to say. He has much to say. So we're going to turn to three different passages, Matthew 6, 1 Peter 5, and Philippians 4. So here's Jesus speaking, and he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your everyday life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" Jesus asks. "Look at the birds of the air. Let's take a little nature walk," he says. "This will help you with your anxiety. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And so there's a nice little cedar waxwing, I think, in the wintertime. And that's, I just thought, this is a great picture of how the Lord provides for lesser creatures than you. Birds. There's a flock of starlings. Now, starlings are kind of the rat bird in the, of the bird world. But they do make some cool flocks. And the Lord knows about each and every one of them. When any sparrow or any bird falls to the ground, the Lord's aware of it. And in another passage, he says, "You're worth more than many sparrows." That'd be a good t-shirt. So further on in Matthew 6, he says, "Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" Excellent question, Jesus. What good does it do? It does you no good. In fact, it does you harm. And it does bad to the people around you and to yourself. So there's something about when you're anxious about something that it just feels right to ruminate on it. And yet when you think about it, when you engage your mind and say, "Is this really helping me?" The answer is most often, no, it is not helping me to ruminate on this thing. What good does it do? Jesus goes on and says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that even King Solomon, the richest man in the Old Testament, in all of his splendor, was not dressed like one of these." And so there's a banjo student of mine. He grows dahlias, and there's one of them. And it's like, oh, my God. You ever seen anyone as dressed as beautifully as that flower? So there's more. These could be right out of Katie Down's front yard. So, but anyway, yeah, take your nature walk and look at flowers and, you know, so if that is how God clothes the grass of the field or the flowers, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Oh, that last word is actually a key thing. with anxiety. Faith. Faith is an antidote to anxiety. And faith is not just the, oh, I need to feel like God's going to come through and this, I just need to whip up a feeling of it's going to be okay. No, no, that is not faith. The key to beating anxiety is faith, which is faith is believing in God's promises and believing in his character. That is a key to unlock the door of anxiety, is faith in what God promises. Because a lot of times you have, on the one hand, I'm thinking and feeling and ruminating and anxious about this, but on the other hand, God says this over here, which am I going to believe? What he says or what I feel in the midst of this? And so that's why it is really crucial to have that daily time of just reading a little bit of scripture, because if you're installing into your conscious mind what God has to say in the Bible, then he can recall that to you when you're right in the teeth of anxiety. Indeed, Romans 10 says, faith comes through hearing the word of Christ. There's how you build your faith. Start installing the word of Christ. You don't have to be a scholar, but just like food, your daily bread, your daily food, eat a little bit of scripture every day. And I made, oh my gosh, I was the biggest excuse maker about this. Like, I don't have time to get in the word for myself. I'm busy working at the church. Yeah, the sickening irony of that. But when my son Josh was a teenager, his high school leader, actually Tom Dixon, said, Josh, just do an experiment. While you're eating your cereal, read some scripture. And so he started doing that. And I was right across the table from him. And there he is reading the Bible and, you know, shoveling down the Cheerios. And I'm shoveling down Cheerios, but I'm reading the Cheerios box and realize I've done that for like 5 days straight. I've solved all the puzzles on there. But the Lord was like, Phil, you know what? If your teenage son can get in the Bible every day, so can you, buddy. So that's when I started really just getting some scripture, reading it every day. Sure helps. So Jesus says, verse 31, so don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So people who are decidedly non-Christian just hustle bustle over these things, eating, drinking, clothing, houses, whatever, just the affairs of this life. And yet, what's this say? Your heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. So we have a real advantage over unbelievers' materialistic hustle bustle in that we have a God who lovingly cares for you, and he knows what your needs are. Thank you, Lord. But he goes on, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So seek first his kingdom, seeking to advance his kingdom, to honor and serve him. How does that work? Well, it reduces anxiety in trying to rule your own life as a little pseudo-God. Let the real God, who knows everything and is all-powerful and cares for you more than you care for yourself, let him have the throne. Advance his kingdom. And also, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here is an Alison Krauss song, or at least she recorded it. I think it's older than she is, but I love this song. I don't know about tomorrow. Here's some verses from the song. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. That should say that. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. Today, I'll walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. And this is the chorus. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. So do not worry. We just read that out of Matthew 6. It's not really a rebuke like, shame on you for worrying. It's an invitation. You don't have to worry about these things. Why? Because God is a good father who is willing and able to care for his children. Now, the starting point really is by simply receiving Christ, which that is spoken of in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, that says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in his name. So you can become God's child and come under his care. If you've never done this, I hope you do it today, that today will be the day that you do it. You're facing a decision, every single one of you here. And it doesn't matter if you grew up in the church or not, but we all face this decision. I grew up in the church. I went to Clinton Heights Lutheran Church faithfully every Sunday. Mrs. Fling, my Sunday school teacher. Anyway, we were there all the time. It's really interesting. In the church, there was a picture that I'm about ready to show you. And I've noticed that a lot of churches have this picture hanging there. And I was kind of aware of it as a young churchgoer, but I didn't really know what it means, what it meant. Here it is. You ever seen that? Actually, here's the cornier, cartoonish version that is out there. Let's go back to this one. So I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. But it wasn't until my older sister explained to me what this means. Revelation 3:20, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your life and the door of your heart. I stand there and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, and opens the door, makes the choice to open the door, what's going to happen? I will come into him and I will dine with him and he dine with me. That's just a way to have intimate fellowship. And as my sister pointed out, you know, Phil, there's no handle on the outside of the door. I mean, he could bust his way in there. He could open the handle and stuff. The handle is on the inside, and it's your choice, Phil, whether you are going to open that door and invite Jesus Christ into your heart to give you eternal life. That's what he wants to give you. He wants to give you complete forgiveness for everything. You mean even that one thing? Yes, even that one thing. So here's the prayer that I prayed. And if you have never prayed this prayer to invite Christ into your heart, whether you're a churchgoer or not, please consider it. Here's what I prayed. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you. I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Please forgive me of all of my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Now that took my sister and I all of like 30 seconds to read through, and she read through it line by line, and I repeated it after her, and I meant it in my heart. I wasn't, you know, kidding around. I really wanted this. If it was true, not that I had perfect faith, but if it was true, I wanted to ask him to come into my life and give me these gifts of his salvation and friendship for eternity. So I knew in an instant that something dramatically had changed. Oh my gosh. I felt like 100 pounds had been lifted off my shoulders the moment I said amen. Now, everybody's experience is a little bit different, so I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to you. But you're going to know in a short amount of time Something is different. The Lord is in my heart because I invited him in. And it's just astounding how simple he has made it, almost to the point where you're like, wait a minute, Phil. You're saying that if I pray that prayer and it open the door of my heart and invite him in, I am going to be saved for eternity and be forgiven for everything and have friendship with him? What works that way in life? Everything's got to be earned. No, come on now. You don't put a price tag on your Christmas gifts that you give to your kids and grandkids. It's for free. It's a free gift. And furthermore, think of when you said, I do, to your spouse. That took even shorter than this prayer. And yet it changed everything, didn't it? I do. So, very powerful. The Lord is waiting for you to pray that prayer to him, and he absolutely will honor it. Try him out. So that's a good starting place. We're moving on now to 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your anxiety on him. The him he's talking about here is Jesus. Cast all your anxiety on Jesus because he cares for you. We're going to break it down. Cast. Any fishermen here? You know what casting is. It's throwing it out there. Cast. Eperipto. That's a fun word to say. Which means throw away or throw upon, to give up. This is, they cast their blankets on the back of that colt and cast the palm leaves on the ground when Jesus was doing the triumphal entry. So it's to throw away or to throw upon. So cast, that's the image he has first here. So there's someone casting. It looks like school books over the edge of a cliff. But that's a better picture there. That's how anxiety can be, isn't it, right? And here's what the Lord is saying in his word. He's saying, cast that away from you. But not just cast it away from you, cast all of these things, all of your anxieties, not just a few, cast all of your anxieties. And he says, personalize it. Be willing to be honest and say, Lord, here's what I'm anxious about, and I want to cast that. I want to get that away from me. And my personal anxiety, cast all your anxiety on him. So you're not just casting it over a cliff. You're casting it onto Jesus, okay? That's his words, not mine. Interesting that probably over 100 times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, there's a phrase that comes up a lot, and it's whenever God is interacting with people, where he says, fear not. But it's always accompanied by the next phrase, for I, God, fear not. You, fear not, because I am with you. I will fight for you. I will comfort you. I will guide you. And so this is the concept here, is instead of you guys just wrestling privately with your own anxieties, is you've got to bring those out and bring them to the Lord and cast those onto him because he cares for you. And that's the next line. By gum, you guys are going to have this verse memorized by the time we're done. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares. Oh, I know he cares about the universe and, you know, the big picture. No, he cares for you. That's what he says. He cares for you. He knows all your stuff. He cares for you. You can cast your anxiety on the Lord Almighty because he cares for you. Right. Good one to memorize. How many words is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 words worth memorizing. I hope the Lord brings that back to your memory. Okay. The next passage, Philippians 4, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." That is a mouthful right there. But, okay, I've underlined a couple words here. Don't be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and asking, that's what petition is, by prayer, turn to the Lord. Like I was just like walking over here and saying, don't hold your anxieties on yourself, but bring them to the Lord. This is what casting your anxiety looks like, is in every situation, pray, turn to Him. He hears you. Petition, but it's with thanksgiving. That is very crucial. With thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Well, thanksgiving for what? When you're in the teeth of anxiety, it's kind of hard to think of what to be thankful for, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of the polar opposite of anxiety is to be thankful. Thankful for what? He goes on in the next few verses, 8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, thank God for that. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, let your mind dwell on these things. That's what one translation says. Think about such things. Okay, so when I started this teaching, I said anxiety. Here's, and you want some help with your anxiety, bada bing, bada boom. Right? Thanksgiving for the gifts and the wonderful things that God has done for you. Oh, I know. You have a lot of things going wrong in your life. There's a lot to be anxious for, but you also have blessings in your life. So that is part of it, is, and even saying, God, I got nothing. I'm ready to thank you for something, but nothing is really coming to mind. You can ask him and say, Lord, will you give me some things to thank you for? Because my brain is just kind of scrambled right now. I can't even think of anything to thank you for. He'll answer that prayer. I've been in the midst of praying that before. Like, okay, this is kind of humbling to ask you, but I can't think of anything to thank you for. And those words barely get out of my mouth, and suddenly he starts flooding my mind with things to be thankful for. So that's part of it. And make your requests known to God. Do you think you're going to surprise God by, like, I've got this thing that I'm anxious about. I'm kind of embarrassed to bring it to you. He already knows. He is omniscient. He is God, the all-knowing. He knows, but you need to get in touch with what's troubling you and bring it to him. So thanking him and asking him for help. Thanking him, asking him for help. What's the result? Ooh, this looks nice. Verse 7. If you do that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And I don't know if you ever experienced this peace that surpasses all understanding, but it's amazing. And what it means is that I should be freaking out right now with anxiety, but the Lord is giving me a sense of peace in the midst of it. And Renee and I have had that happen. So she had cancer 15 years ago. We didn't know what was going to happen. Pretty bad, actually. So we had friends praying for us. There's a blessing right there. There's something to thank God for, is friends who will pray for you. We had a lot of friends praying for us. And so we were in the hospital waiting for one test or another. There were so many. And one of our friends texted us a verse from Hebrews 13 that says, I myself have said it, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we just clung to that promise and tied into the truth of that scriptural promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. And we experienced that peace that surpasses understanding. I mean, a couple of times we looked at each other like, we should be freaking out right now, but we're not. The Lord is answering our prayer for peace in the midst of this situation. Praise be to God for that. So the Lord answered many other prayers too. Renee's sitting right back there. She's still with me. So, yeah. Anxiety. So what have we learned here today? Ooh, looks like I'm within the time frame. Good. Matthew 6, just by way of reminder and summary, is consider God's care for the lesser creatures, the flowers and the birds. He cares for you more than them. Seek his kingdom, and he's going to help you with your anxiety. 1 Peter 5, that passage we looked at said, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There's two of the big take-home points right there from that passage. Cast your anxiety on him. He cares for you. And then finally was Philippians 4, which is thank him for whatever you can find to thank him for and ask him. I think if you don't have that thanking component, it just becomes kind of like grumbly, kind of bitching about things, you know. But having the perspective of there are things to thank the Lord for, I'm going to tie into those, and then ask him. Have you ever been surprised by an answer to prayer? Renee and I pray in the morning and pray for things that cause me anxiety at work and stuff like that. And then we have the audacity to be surprised when God actually answers. And wow, okay, that worked out just the way we prayed, Lord. Thank you, and sorry for doubting you. You'll take even a mustard seed of faith and do something with it. So thank you for that, God, and ask him. The biggest point that I can say from this is that don't set a lot of things. We've been over a lot of things, but the big point to get from this is don't stew on your anxiety silently and alone. Okay? You need to be honest about what you're anxious about, and you need to take that to the Lord regularly. Bring him into it. Oh, I couldn't trouble him. Oh, yes, you can. He says you should. You should trouble him with your troubles. He wants to help bear your burden, and he will bear your burden, but takes faith to do that. Lord, thanks for this time to be together and to open your scriptures and gain hope. We need your hope, Lord. And thank you that you are with us. And thank you. Just help us to be mindful of who it is we're dealing with. You are God Almighty, and that you love us. So help us to remember that. Help us to meet you every day in your living scriptures, the Bible, and really hear what you have to say for us, to us for each day. Thank you for your grace when we blow that off and forget about it, and you always take us back and are always willing and happy to hear from us and to speak to us through the Bible. So thank you for that grace. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.